Ray joins us, and Ray, tongue firmly planted in my cheek, like, oh my goodness, we're going to have to break up the Germans because they're crushing Switzerland, and we can't have blowouts at the World Juniors, Ray. It's just, it's not good for the kids.
Well, you know, certainly there's been a faction of media that is, you know, has been on that for, you know, for the games that have been blowouts, and hell, who wants to see that? I mean, nobody wants to see that. You know, I don't think in this year we should think that anything is out of the, or is unexpected. And, you know, Germany's playing with literally a third of their team against Canada. And aside from the seven guys that were missing, they're missing Lucas Reichel, who was first rounder by Chicago. He had COVID and couldn't come. Moritz Seider, who is would be, I think, the best defenseman in the tournament. He's not here. He's playing with Rögle in the Swedish league. And had he come over, he would have had to miss 22 games. They're missing their starting goaltender. So, like, what are they going to do? Just not come?
Exactly.
So they show up here in the game today. You know, they're going to finish third in their group. Yeah, like, the two best players in the game today took over the game in the first period. J.J. Paterka, who's a Buffalo first-rounder, and Tim Stützle, who is impossible not to love watching play. And so they're up 3-0 here, and good for them. They have not had an easy road.
No, not at all.
Can you just talk a little bit about the play of Stützle? And because that's quite frankly the first time I've seen him live, you know, rather than just on videos. And just what you think of him and what he could bring to Ottawa Senators.
Shreddy, I don't get too far down the road with junior players at the tournament anymore. I used to get more, I'd get more excited about them saying, oh, they're ready to play. And,
okay.
and then I'd look at them and go, oh, you know what? They're not, you know, once you see them in the NHL, because I've done this tournament for 10 years and I think I got a better feel for it. And you're always wrong sometimes, but I look at Tim Stützle. I don't think there's anything Ottawa can hand him this year that he won't be ready for. I think he's a Rookie of the Year candidate. I think the kid is a star. He's got a personality that is determined and fierce and mature. He's got unbelievable skill. I think Ottawa's got a winner on their hands. I really do. I met him last year and spent quite a bit of time with him at the tournament in Ostrava. And you know, sometimes you just meet a kid, a player, and you go, there's something there. Like, you can't even really put your finger on it, but you're like, there's something there. And I got that with Stützle.
No, he's really impressed me, Ray. Again, though, it's the World Junior Tournament, and I remember Jesse Puljujärvi dominating that tournament, and it's a big jump to the
different,
NHL.
Different.
So,
no, different.
No, I know different players. I get you, but I'm just saying.
Okay, so you pick out, you compare him to Puljujärvi. Why don't you?
No. I was just saying as an example, not the players. Like, they're games.
But here's my point, Jason. Is like, you know, you say, okay, Puljujärvi dominated the tournament. Well, he didn't really. He had like 35 shots and 3 goals, you know, the tournament in Toronto. And he was, you know, in the next year he played with Aho and Laine. So he was a very good player, right, in the tournament. Not like this. This kid's at a different level. He's star quality. I don't think anybody thought that, you know, Puljujärvi would be a Rookie of the Year candidate. I would say that Stützle is a Rookie of the Year candidate.
Do you what do you make of Byfields? Because you've seen him now twice in the tournament, and I just wonder now that he finally scored, how much easier it's going to be for him. Just, you know, relieving that monkey off of his back, because I'm guessing it might have been a gorilla.
Well, I'm sure he feels way better today than he did 2 days ago. it's not like he's unaware of how Tim Stützle is doing. And that adds a layer of pressure too, as Byfield went number two, and of course, and Stützle went three. And so everybody's raving and jumping up and down over Stützle, and you don't have any points and you're not playing very much. For the second year in a row, Byfield's the youngest player on Team Canada. He's a 6'4" and a half, 215-pound centerman. I'm fine with Byfield. I know it's been underwhelming at times for him, but there's no ice time for him. And now I think what's going to happen, this is just my guess, is that he's going to bully his way into more ice time by the way that he's playing. Because he didn't play very much yesterday. He only played 11 minutes. But I think that it just takes him to a different look for the coaches that, oh, maybe they're, you know, maybe he is, you know, ready to produce on this stage. Here's another thing. He said something in an interview he just did. He hadn't scored a goal since last February.
Yeah.
Like, think of that. He hadn't scored since February. And so, you know, you say, oh, you got to get your confidence back. You know, where are you going to get that? In the driveway? You know, he's got to play some games. He put on 10 pounds working out with Gary Roberts. So that's great. You put on the 10 pounds of muscle and strength and all that. But you got to learn to carry it around.
Yeah.
And since nobody's played, you get dropped in off the moon here for this tournament. And it didn't look as good as Stützle. Well, Stützle's probably more NHL ready, I would say, than Byfield. But in my opinion, LA's got a very good player on their hands, too.
John by Ray Ferraro, taking a look at the World Juniors. Can you talk about how it seems like Dylan Holloway's been raised up the ranks as well with playing with Dylan Cousins?
I'm sorry, it's ready. I cut out here.
About
sorry.
His play about Dylan Holloway, and now he's now playing with, looks like, Cousins, and the effect he's having is an older draft pick.
Yeah, you know what? I'm another guy I'm a fan of. I don't think, you know, you're not going to see a lot of, you know, a flash and fanciness from Holloway. What you're going to see is a direct line, strong, physical player that will score some. He's not going to be a 35-goal scorer, but he's going to score some. He's going to be able to play with really good players and be that that support for them. So, you know, what would I say? It's hard to put. I was going to try and guess a point for him, but that's unfair. I don't know that yet. But he's strong. He's going to be able to play up and down the lineup. You know, he's going to be in your middle six, I would think, is probably a guarantee. You know, I know my brother-in-law who coaches at the University of Wisconsin, Tony Granato, is a huge fan. Loves the way he works, loves the way that he plays the game, loves the way he processes the game. I think at 14, where he was drafted, Edmonton got a really, really good player.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, do you think it's something when there's another player on the Winnipeg Jets, this time is Roslovich, who has asked for a trade? You know, there's the, you know, you go back to Trouba and Laine and lots of others. Like, does the organization remotely have to look and say, okay, maybe, I don't know if they're, like, what are they doing? Because there's not a lot of other organizations that are having that many young guys asking for trades, at least not publicly.
Yeah, I would say all three of those are probably a little bit different. Jacob Trouba could have been playing anywhere in Canada, and he wanted to go. His fiance is a doctor, or well on her way to being a doctor, and so her, you know, it was as much about her career as his. He wanted to go to the States, and you know, whether it was Winnipeg or Edmonton or Vancouver, or, I don't think it really mattered. You know, Winnipeg got into a tough spot with a player that played hard for them, and it was a really good player, and just, you know, used his leverage to say, hey, I'm going, and when I'm a free agent, I'm going to the States. And so they had to move him. Laine's a little bit of a different one. He wants to be the top dog, and they got a bit of a roadblock there. They're going to have to figure that out. He wants to play with Mark Scheifele, and if you ask me, if your choices are trade Laine or, you know, have Blake Wheeler play in a different role, I want to keep Laine and I want to play Blake Wheeler in a different role. Wheeler's, you know, not getting younger, and Laine's still one of the best goal scorers in the league. As for Jack Roslovic, you know, it's kind of a long-winded answer, I guess, but, you know, he wants more opportunity. He can't seem to crack into that top six in Winnipeg, which is really good. The problem is, what he's going to find is, if Kevin Cheveldayoff takes him at his word and says, okay, I'll try and trade you, what do you think he's going to get offered back? No. Not very much. And this is the guy's 28th or 9th pick in the first round. you know, somebody offer you a third round pick, are you taking that? Not a chance. And so, you know, Roslovic may get into one of those things where he realizes his value around the league might not be what Winnipeg is willing to accept, and he might have to go back. Or he can sit at home. I mean, he's got no cards right now, and having no cards and no leverage is a bad place to be.
Ray, what do you think the effect will be for NHL players with no exhibition games?
Well, do you remember, Strutty, like when you would get through camp and you're like, man, I don't really want to play these exhibition games, but I know I need them. Like, who wanted to go play three exhibition games? I didn't. I was like, I want to start playing. And then you go, yeah, but I need them. I need to bang the rust off. So I think we'll see a ragged start for some guys. Some guys will probably come out and just light it right up. Others are going to struggle. I can't imagine the goalies are going to be super sharp, which is just fine for me. More goals is more goals. I'm always a fan. But I think the play will be a little ragged. I don't know how it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I do think the power plays with the same stars returning are going to have an advantage. Like in Edmonton, their power play is ridiculous last year, Ray. I think they're going to be off to a red-hot start.
Very well could be. The ones that are familiar with each other will certainly have a leg up, right? The teams that maybe have a lot of changes, a lot of people in different personnel or different personnel in different places, that'll be a real challenge to get going.
Quickly, Ray, what's your thoughts on Chara?
Interesting. You know, I had heard this a little bit ago that, you know, Boston was moving in a different direction. They've got some really young defensemen on the left side that, you know, without Torrey Krug there, they got to find out what they have. You know, Zdeno has been a remarkable Boston Bruin. He's a Hall of Famer. His number's going to go up on the rafters there. And it's hard to move on. It really is for both team and player. But to me, the bigger mistake would be if you don't really have the thought that, you know, that what a 42-year-old can do for you, you've got to move on and find what you have before these guys run out of contract options. It's cold-blooded a little bit, but I don't know any other way around it. Like, do you just bring him back and keep a guy stuffed on the taxi squad? No, you got to find out what he is. If it's Jeremy Lauzon or a couple of those other Earl Vakanainen and some of those other young defensemen, they got to find out what they are. Because Chara can't play forever.
Ray, we'll let you get back to the broadcast. Thanks for taking some time. And all the best in 2021.
Yeah, let's hope 2021's better for all of us. I hope all your listeners have a safe, you know, quiet new year. And let's look for some good stuff in 2021.